Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning. If you'll turn to Psalm 101 in just a moment, I'd like to read that psalm together with you. And as you're turning over there, we welcome you to the service. We have some who are out of town. The Bushes are out of town. We need to remember them. And Jake is preaching in Orlando this morning and need to remember him and others who may be gone. We need to be mindful of them. But we have those visiting with us, and we're thankful for your presence. And we hope that you'll come back. As you have an opportunity, we meet this evening at 5 p.m. It's a beautiful day. It's good to be out. It's good to be able to come together to worship God. And I hope our time spent now in His Word will be beneficial and profitable. Not long ago, I was doing some personal reading in the Psalms, and I came to Psalm 101. And before I even read the Psalm, the way it was laid out in my Bible, my eye caught that in each verse, I will, except for verse 6 and 7, before I even read the psalm, my eye caught the way it was laid out on the page, I will. I will do this, I will do that, I will do this, and I will do that. And I got to thinking, whatever's going on here, this man has a lot of resolve. He's going to do some things, and no one or no thing is going to stop him. And so I began to read the psalm, and sure enough, it is a psalm where David, or the psalmist, professes his resolve to be right with God. And I was impressed with that. As I began to think about that, I began to think about our current world that we live in. And the lack of resolve in so many areas of our life today. We see that in so many areas. Just this no care, I may or may not do something attitude. We see it everywhere. We see it in education. I may or may not finish school. We see it at work. I may or may not get my job done. We see it everywhere. Just the lack of resolve. And we see it in our spiritual life. I may or may not obey God. I'm having a good time. Joy in life. Things are good. And I may or may not do what I need to do to obey God. I believe there's a general lack of resolve among many. We're just simply losing that in our life, and we're not teaching that to our children. We don't have it ourselves, and so we may or may not be at services. We may or may not do this or that. You think about, for example, James 4:17, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. To him it is sin. Why is that? Why is it that somebody can know that they need to do something, but they don't do it? Why is that? Well, it could be a number of reasons. It could be flat-out pride. I'm just not going to do it. It could be fear. It could be I'm scared to do something. I think more often than not, it's just lack of resolve. I'm just lazy. I just don't have the gumption, the get up and go, the drive, the firmness about doing what I need. And so I know to do good, but I don't do it. It's not a lack of information. It's not a lack of ability. It's not a lack of physical. It's just flat out laziness. And we see that in a lot of areas. And so I want to talk about the importance of having resolve, that mental attitude of accomplishment, and I'm goal-oriented, and I'm not going to let someone or something stop me from doing what I need to do. I want to talk about resolve this morning. Turn with me to Psalm 101, and to get our encouragement, let's turn to the scripture where the psalmist here professes his resolve to be right with God. Psalm 101 and verse 1. I will sing of loving kindness and justice unto thee, O Jehovah. Will I sing praises? I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no base thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will know no evil thing. Whoso privately or secretly slandereth his neighbor, him I will destroy. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart, I will not suffer or allow. Mine eyes shall behold upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall minister unto me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that speaketh falsehood shall not be established before my eyes. Morning by morning I will destroy all the wicked of the land, to cut off all the workers of iniquity from the city of Jehovah. I will. Do you hear that today? No, today we hear I won't. And then we make our excuses. I will from beginning to end. What a beautiful resolve we find here in Scripture. And so when we turn to Psalm 101, what we're basically seeing is the psalmist here, David, professes his resolve, that mental attitude that at the end of the day, I'm going to get this done, and it will be done. No excuses, no laziness. And so in verse 1, what I will do, and verses 2 through 8, how I will act. And no one or no thing is going to change that. Brethren and friends, we need that in our lives today. We're seeing so much of the other. And it's in every facet of our life. Where at the end of the day, I just didn't do that. The problem with many, and I include myself because the danger is for all of us, the problem is not knowledge. The problem is not physical ability. It's just plain old resolve. Turn with me to Luke chapter 12. We know what we're supposed to do. It's not a matter of knowledge or information. It's not a matter of, I just don't know, and I've never learned, and I've never heard. We know it all. We know it. We just don't act upon what we know. And there's an example of this in Luke chapter 12 and verse 47. The wicked servant. And Jesus coming again in the second coming is going to be like the man who comes back and gives a reckoning toward his servant. Luke 12, verse 45. But if that servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and the maid servants, and to eat and drink and be drunken, and the Lord of the servant shall come in a day when he expecteth not, and in an hour when he knoweth not, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint his portion with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his Lord's will. It's not a matter of knowledge. It's not a matter of, I don't know. He knew his Lord's will and made not ready, nor did according to his will, shall be beaten with stripes. I just don't know. That's not the problem. I just don't want to do it. And it's not a matter of physical ability. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. We have the physical ability. It's not a matter of knowledge, and it's not a matter of physical ability. It's just a matter of plain old lack of resolve. I'm lazy. I'm just not going to do it. In Matthew chapter 25, with regard to the talents here, the 5-talent man and the 2-talent man and the 1-talent man. Verse 24, and he also that had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man. You see, it's not a lack of knowledge. He knew what he needed to do. I knew that thou art a hard man, and reaping where thou didst not sow, and gathering where thou didst not scatter. And I was afraid, and went away, and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, thou hast thine own. But his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I sowed not. So it's not a matter of knowledge. You knew what was expected of you. When I gave you the talents, you knew what you were supposed to do. But it's also, look at this. He said, you knew what you ought to have put my... Back up to verse 26. You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I sowed not and gathered where I did not scatter. You ought therefore to have put my money to the bankers, and at my coming I should have received mine with interest. You had the ability to go to the bank and put it in there. And you knew that you were supposed to do that, but you didn't do it. Now his problem, verse 25, was fear. I was afraid. But often it's just a matter of resolve. So let us not say, well, I just don't know. And I don't have the physical ability. What we're seeing in our society is just lack of resolve. People know things and they have the physical ability to get up and do it. They just don't want to. We need resolve, brethren. And so this morning I want us to consider the matter of I will. Turn with me, first of all, this morning to Ezekiel chapter 18. I want to look at a few examples this morning. I want to look at some examples this morning. We'll look at about six of them. And in each of these passages, I want us to look at two things. This is very important. As you're turning over to Ezekiel 18, I want us to look at two things. First of all, I want us to notice the area in which resolve is needed. We're going to see some areas in which resolve is needed. But this is very important. We're also going to learn from these Bible passages how to develop resolve. It's not enough just to have a lesson on resolve. How do I get to the point that I have resolve? We're going to learn those two things. Number one, the area in which resolve is needed. And number two, how that we can develop that resolve in our life. It wouldn't help us much to just simply know that we need resolve. We need to be able to have the ability to go out and practice that at the end of the day. I want to turn to Ezekiel chapter 18 because the first thing that I'd like for us to look at is that we need resolve in this area of making excuses. Have you ever known of somebody that says, well, you know, they were born that way. They're born that way. And they're born that way, and so that's the way they are. Or their parents raised them that way. Or the environment that they're in. You got to understand the environment that they're in. And so what's happening is, what we're doing is we're making excuses. We're blaming other things. And so the reason the person doesn't get up and do such and such is, well, you know, they were born that way. Or that's the way they were raised. Or, you know, you got to understand the household that they're in. Do you know what would get them out of that? Resolve. And you know why? The scripture teaches us that it can. Resolve will keep me from making excuses and saying, well, you know, it was the way I was raised, or my background, or my education, or lack thereof, or this is what mom and dad, you know, that's kind of how they raised me. Look at Ezekiel chapter 18. We find that people were making excuses. Verse 2. The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. And the Lord says in verse 3, I'm going to give an occasion where this excuse can no longer be used. Well, that's just the way I was raised. And see, mom and dad, you know, they ate the sour grapes, and now, you know, I'm sort of just the way I am because of that. That's just pure excuse making. And resolve will get me out of that. I need to stop making excuses and stop blaming someone else. Well, I'm doing this because of someone else. Get up and do what we need to do. How do I know that? Well, look at verse 5. Here's a man in verse 5 who is just and right, and he does that which is good. He's living right, verses 5 through 9. Come down with me to verse 10. He begets a son who's just the opposite. Verse 10, this righteous man has a child. And some of us have children here this morning. They may or may not be like us. Okay, depends upon their free will and what they're going to do with their life. But here I am, I'm trying to live right. I beget a son who's just a no good. If he beget a son that is a robber and a shedder of blood and he doesn't do any of these things that his father had done, he'd gone off and done all these poor things. Verse 13, his blood shall be upon his head. But look at it now. We've got a man. We've got a son. Now look at it. Now we have a grandson. Verse 14. If he, that's the son of verse 10, the bad man, you know, the robber and the evil man. If he, this son, beget a son, now we're down to the grandson, that seeth all his father's sins which he hath done and feareth and doeth not such like. He's not going to live like his father. And you know why? Because of verse 14. He sees it and he doesn't want to be like it. He has the resolve to not be like his environment. So he's not going to get up, well, my dad was just bad, you know, and I'm going to blame him. I'm going to blame my education. I'm going to blame society and blame that. No, he gets up and he says, and he sees all of this, I am not going to go down that road. And so verse 14, he fears, and he does not do such like. We need to resolve and quit blaming and making excuses about, you know, my environment. This man, verse 14, had an environment that was bad. Verse 10, he had an environment that was bad. He was raised with a bad father. But he had the resolve to see all of that and say no to that. And look at verse 14. He feareth and doeth not such like. How do I develop resolve? Number one, it comes when I focus on God's Word and I fear God. I fear God's Word and I'm not going to let circumstances and environment be my blame and my excuse. I'm going to get up. Yes, I was raised with a bad father. But I'm going to get up and I know God's Word. I've learned God's Word and I'm going to do it. But so much today is, well, you know, he came from the ghetto and he this and he that. Listen, environment is very strong on a person. I'm not discounting that. Environment and the way we've been taught can be very strong and influential on us. But God gives us a free will. And he gives us the ability to learn truth and make a change from the way that we've been raised. We need to stop making excuses and blaming and have the resolve to get up and live the way we need to live. Number two, we need resolve because it'll help us from worldliness. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 1. We talk sometimes about our young people and peer pressure and all of the bad things that are going on in the world. And there's a lot out there and the pressure is great. But if we're not careful, we're going to send this message that it's so great that you just got to understand that a young person is going to do that, or an old person for that matter. They're just going to do that because, you know, worldliness and pressure is so great. No. Resolve pushes back and says, no, I'm not going to engage in worldliness. You remember in Daniel chapter 1 how that some of the Hebrew youths were taken off to Babylon and they were going to be indoctrinated into the ways of the Babylonians during the Babylonian captivity, 605 B.C. So Daniel is there and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and others are there. And they're there not just to learn the Babylonian politics, but they would also be indoctrinated in some other ways that would actually go against the law. They would be drinking and eating things that were against the law. And so these young men have to make a decision. They have resolved to say no. Verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart. That's resolve. That's what you and I need. Not blaming and excuse making and, oh, we've been carted over here to Babylon and the pressure is so great that we have to give in and do it, you see. No, they would not defile themselves with the king dainties, nor the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he should not defile himself. This just say no on bumper stickers, that was long before modern slogans. These men were saying just say no. But look at it. purpose of heart. It's resolve. I am not going to engage in this. Turn with me to chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are told to bow down to the idol, they have resolve. I'm not going to engage in worldliness, worldly idolatry. And where is it coming from? Chapter 3, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer thee in this matter, if it be that our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning of the fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of the hand of the king. But if not, be it known unto thee that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which you have set up. We've already made up our mind. We're not tossing this around for a vote. We have no need to answer you. Our mind's made up. It's resolve, brethren, and it keeps us out of worldliness. We're not sitting there thinking, oh, well, should I do this or not? No, I've already decided that I'm not going to do that. It comes, how do I develop this? It comes from a settled heart ahead of time. Daniel and his friends knew before they got to Babylon that they would not do these things. It was in their heart. It was in their heart, and they had purposed that. It's because they were raised that way as youths. And that's why it's important as a parent to raise our children with values so that ahead of time, before they go out on the date, before they go off to college, before they choose their mate, before they pick their job, before all of that, it's already been settled in their heart concerning what is right. That's how we develop resolve. We get it settled now. Now. And the younger, the better. Turn with me to chapter 6 and verse 10. Resolve keeps us from worldliness. Of course, we remember chapter 6, how that Daniel is thrown in the lion's den for refusing the king's order. The king said, no one's allowed to pray anymore to their God. Well, I'm sorry. I'm going to do what is right. But notice that Daniel had that resolve in his heart and mind and life ahead of time. And so they make this law that you're not allowed to pray to your God. Verse 10, and when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. Now his windows were open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. Listen, when you get carted off in the captivity, don't ever lose sight of where your home is. And Daniel didn't. His windows are open to Jerusalem. That's where I'm from. That's where I belong. And even though I'm out in the world, I'm not going to lose sight of where I've come from. Very important. But he kneeled down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed. But this is what I want you to underscore in your Bible. And gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He didn't just say, well, you know, I'm just going to start doing it now. The resolve was already there. He's just going to do what he's always done. And worldliness is not going to stop me. You settle it ahead of time. You have a practice ahead of time. I always go to services. I don't miss services. I always go to services. So later in my life, when I'm called upon to miss one service, well, I'm not going to miss that. I've always made a practice of being at services. I've always made a practice of praying and reading my Bible and other things. So when it comes up later in life, that's not even a choice. I don't even have to make a choice. The choice is already made.
It's called resolve. And it comes when we settle in our heart ahead of time what is right. Let's look at some New Testament passages. Turn with me to Luke chapter 15. Resolve will keep me from remaining in sin. Here's a person who's living in sin. What gets him out of that? The pleasures of the world are great. The pleasures of sin for a season are great. But here's a person, young or old, they're just living in sin. What gets them out of that? Resolve. You remember the prodigal son? He takes his inheritance. He goes off into a far country. He wastes his substance with riotous living. He's with the harlots. He's living it up. He's having a good old time. But he sinks so low, he gets so low, he's eating with the pigs, verse 16, and no man gave unto him, but when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough and to spare, and I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father. That's
resolve. I will. I'm going to go. And he did. And it got him out of sin. It got him out of the slop. But let me ask you something. How do we get to that point? The sin is still there. The fun times are still there. When we finally realize what it means to be lost. Have we ever gone home and just, if there's sin in my life, what does that really mean? How grave and serious really is that? What does it mean to be lost? To be away from God, to no blessings from God, eternal hell, fire. When we think about the ramification of that and we contemplate that, we want to get out of that. And so verse 17, he realized that he was lost and that his father had all of these blessings. And so we find in verse 32, it was necessary to make merry and be glad. The father says, this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. And we won't get out of sin until we really realize what it means to be dead, dead in sin. And lost. And so how does resolve come? Resolve comes when we get pricked, when we get poked enough about really being lost, really being dead in sin. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. I'm sorry, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, talking about the Lord coming again. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7. At the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven, with the angels of His power in flaming fire, every word has great impact, rendering vengeance to them that know not God. Well, I know God, so that doesn't apply to me. Well, what about the next one? And to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction, from the face of the Lord and from the glory of His might. We're going to be separated from God. We're not going to be around Him. We're going to suffer punishment away from Him. We cannot be in His presence. The more I think about that, the more, I don't want that. I'm going to get up and get out of that. It keeps me from remaining in my sin. Resolve keeps me pressing toward the goal and doing what is right in the Lord's work. Sometimes as Christians, we get discouraged. Sometimes as Christians, we get tired. We need resolve to keep me pressing toward the heavenly goal. Turn with me to Acts chapter 21. Do you remember when Paul was going back to Jerusalem, and there were some brethren who were telling him that if you go back to Jerusalem, there is suffering that awaits you there. And in Acts chapter 21, we read some of that. He's getting close to Jerusalem, and there's this prophet named Agabus, verse 10, came down from Judea. Acts 21:11, and coming to us and taking Paul's girdle, he bound his own feet and hands and said, thus saith the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard this, both we and they of that place besought him, that's Paul, they besought Paul not to go to Jerusalem. Don't go. Then Paul answered, what do you, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready, here's the result, I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, there's your resolve, we ceased saying, the Lord's will be done. You could not deter Paul. You could not change his mind. I am going there. Period. End of discussion. Why? It's the Lord's will. And I'm going to do His will, not my will. Where does resolve come? Resolve comes when I start focusing on God's will. If it's God's will, what He's revealed in the Scripture, well,
then I'm going to do it. What happens is my will gets in the way, and all of a sudden our resolve is killed. But when I focus on God's will, then I stay doing what He wants me to do. Let's look at this again. Paul, come back to chapter 20, Acts chapter 20, when Paul was meeting with the Ephesian elders. This comes up again there, where Paul knows ahead of time what's going to happen at Jerusalem. But look at what carries his resolve. What is it that promotes that? Acts 20, verse 22. "And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save, except that the Holy Spirit testified unto me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me," or await for me. Look at it. Where did this resolve come from? "But I hold not my life of any account as dear unto myself. I'm not going to do what I want, so that I may accomplish my course and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus." That's why I'm going. This is what He wants me to do. That's why I have the resolve. And so the Apostle Paul said, "Not that I've already obtained, but I press on toward the goal." What keeps me growing as a Christian, where I don't just become a bench warmer? I'm always wanting to learn. I'm wanting to serve more in the local church, not just be a bench warmer. I want to serve more, want to learn more, want to grow more, want to be better in my marriage, want to be better in my family. What causes me to grow and keep moving forward rather than just spiritual lethargy? I'm pressing on toward the goal of the high prize of the calling of God, you see. And Paul says that I've finished the course. I've fought the fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Why? This is what God wants me to do. It keeps me pressing. Resolve keeps me busy in the Lord's work, and particularly in this matter of talking with others about the gospel and trying to save them. Personal evangelism is very difficult for us. We might fear what someone might say. We're uneasy about conflict or this or that. But turn with me to John chapter 4. We need resolve in the matter of talking to the lost. It's easy just to let them go on their merry way, and, you know, that's the life they've chosen, and, you know, I'm not going to say anything. But we need to talk with others about the gospel. And we need that resolve. Look at John chapter 4 with regard to Jesus and the woman at the well. Have you ever noticed this little passage in verse 4? The text says that he left Judea and departed again unto Galilee. And he must needs pass through Samaria. Why? Well, that's the only road he could take. No. He didn't have enough fare to go the other way. No. He must needs pass through Samaria. There were people that he needed to talk to. And so later, when he talks to this woman at the well who was lost, she'd been in different marriages, she was in the wrong religion, been in different marriages, in the wrong religion. Just let them be, you know, that's the life they've chosen. No, he talked with her. And when the disciples come back wondering why he's talking with this woman, let's pick up the reading in verse 34. Jesus said unto his disciples, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to accomplish his work." That's why I have so much resolve that I must be here talking with this woman. We've got a work to do, the Lord's work. "Say not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look out into the fields, that they are white already in the harvest." They're already ready to be talked to. They're ready to be studied with. "Oh, no, I'll invite them some other time." Well, pretty soon the harvest is no longer going to be there. What farmer in Robertson County in his right mind, come about June, July, when all of these crops are coming in that they're planting in the spring, what farmer in his right mind is just going to let all that harvest go to waste, saying, "Well, you know, just sometime later in the fall, I'll, you know, get up." be gone. So what motivated Jesus was, the harvest is right now. That's why I'm talking with this woman. Don't be surprised that I'm talking with this woman. And then he takes it a step further. Look at verse 35. He that receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice. For herein is one saying, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that wherein you have not labored. You've got to get out there too. It's not just something for Jesus. And so, on this matter of personal evangelism, when we see someone at Walmart or somewhere at work or somewhere else, what gets us up there where we actually start talking with people? It comes by recognizing the urgency of the harvest and that we're going to be held accountable, Ezekiel 3, if we don't say something to them. Turn with me to Romans 1. Paul recognized the urgency of the matter. And we can all, and I include myself, we can all do better in having the resolve to open our mouth and talk with someone about the gospel. Paul said in Romans 1:14, I am a debtor. I am indebted both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you also that are at Rome, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. When I go about, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. I want to preach to the Jews. I want to preach to the Greeks. There's a limited time here. There's an urgency for salvation. Why in Romans 9:1 and in Romans 10:1 did Paul cry over his lost brethren? Because he realized the urgency of the matter. And he said, as much as in me is, I'm going to preach the gospel, the resolve. And then last of all, and the lesson is yours, I asked Dylan if he would read Revelation 22:17. Turn with me there. Resolve will cause me to get up and accept the Lord's invitation. You know, there have been times in the past where you would extend the gospel invitation and many, many people would come. Many people would come. As a child, I remember in gospel meetings and regular services, folks coming forward to be baptized. You don't see that much anymore. Has something changed? Nothing's changed with the invitation or the Bible information. What's changed is that the devil is getting us to lose our resolve. And in Revelation chapter 22, the invitation and the Spirit and the bride, the Spirit through His Word and the Scripture, the bride, the church, through preaching, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And he that heareth, let him say, come. And he that is athirst, let him come. And he that will, there's your resolve, let him take of the water of life freely. It's open to all, but you've got to get up and come. Whosoever will, the willpower, the resolve has to be there. And it comes when I truly appreciate what Christ has to offer. I want you to look at the word in verse 17, he that is athirst. The reason I don't get up and come is because I don't think I'm that thirsty. I'm just not that thirsty. The world is satisfying me. Things are going great in my family. I've got this going on that's fine. I've got that. But until you're really thirsty, you're not going to come and take of the water that Christ has to offer. And so when I truly appreciate how thirsty I am and that Jesus is just freely offering that, I'm not going to come. And so I've got to get to the point where I'm just thirsty. Spiritually speaking, of course. And when I appreciate what Christ is offering, I'm going to get up and come. So, we sing and we're going to sing. If you'll turn in your psalm books to the song of invitation, I am resolved. I see so much lack of that in our world today. We need to be like the psalmist in every verse except two. Every verse of those eight verses. I will, I will, I will. And he did. Resolve will keep me from making excuses about my environment. Resolve will keep me from worldliness. Resolve will keep me from remaining in my fun life of sin Like the prodigal son, just having a good old time. But then he realized, I will come to my Father. Resolve will keep me pressing forward as a Christian and growing and continuing to do God's work and God's will. Resolve will keep me busy in the Lord's work, particularly in the realm of evangelism, knowing that the harvest time is going to be gone. Jude describes it this way, snatching some out of the fire. Really? Here's a burning building, and people are in there. They've come out to the window. You've seen it on the news. They come out to the window. They need somewhere to jump. They need the firemen to catch them or something like that. They're burning. But people just say, well, you know, good luck with that. No, there's resolve. There's resolve from the fireman. There's resolve from the person himself. He doesn't want to burn. And there's eternal hellfire where people will burn. We've got to have the resolve to snatch them out of the fire before that's too late. Somebody snatched us out of the fire, and we need to turn around and have the resolve to do that with somebody else. And so I hope that this has encouraged us this morning. And the reason is this. We're not going to let the devil throw cold water on our resolve. We're not going to let the devil just have this lackadaisical, no care attitude about spiritual things. We're going to have the resolve and say no to him. And in these areas that we've talked about, get up and do what we need to do. And so I hope that that has encouraged us along those lines. And if we can encourage you to make your life right, why won't you have that resolve and express it right now as we stand and sing and come and accept the invitation.
I am resolved. No.